This is Bob, Groz, and Tom.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio and streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Hour number two of Bob, Groz, and Tom coming up at 2 o'clock. Our buddy Paul Moyer will join us on the program, talk about what he took away from yesterday's win. Got the halftime show coming up at the bottom of the hour as well. For those of you that missed the biggest stories of the day at the opening of the show, we always bring you up to speed at 1:30. Meanwhile, I like to do this after every game, give you the plays of the game. And luckily it comes on the heels of yet another win. Close one, but a win is a win.
Is a win is a win.
I didn't put too many highlights from the first half in there, as you may have noticed.
Because you didn't see it.
Right. Because I didn't see it. But in the interest of telling the story of the game,
right,
we start with something that was not so good.
Yeah, Russell Wilson sacked three times in the first quarter and then the fourth time coming in the second quarter.
Two tight ends, Russell from the shotgun, play fake, steps up, goes down. If he had handed that ball to Chris Carson, Carson might still be running.
But that was it, was it not?
Yep, that was the last sack of the day. That was pretty immediate, though. Steps up, he goes down.
Can we play that one more time?
Two tight ends, Russell from the shotgun, play fake, steps up, goes down. If he had handed that ball to Chris Carson, Carson might still
that
be
That was
running.
Immediate. Steps up, goes down.
That's like that old basketball cut he used to have of the guy shooting the three-pointer that Paisley loved.
Yeah, yeah, air ball.
Three-pointer, air ball.
Yeah.
For the win, air ball.
There's not even a pause there. Steps up, goes down.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool.
But it wasn't all bad news. Second half, defense got things going, forcing a turnover.
Connor stays in the game. Bit of a high snap. Rush is coming. Throw far side. Ball off the fingertips. Almost intercepted. Did he stay in? Did he catch the ball? He did. The Seahawks intercept that pass on the far side. It was tough to see if he got his feet down, but it's Bradley McDougal who was chasing that errant pass as it was tipped by the receiver. He comes down with it, just drags his toes, and it's the Seahawks ball.
That was nice because he had struggled a little bit in the game. In particular on that long running play that they had in the first quarter.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Secondary, yeah, like, just in terms of sticking out, making a mistake, it was Lano Hill on the flea flicker. That's
right,
the one that stood
that was
out
the
to
biggest
me.
One.
But then he made, well, we'll come to it later, but I feel like I didn't have to pay as much attention to the secondary because Mason Rudolph, once he came in, his passes were pretty short. They were going linebackers.
Once Roethlisberger was out, their long passing game pretty much went with him.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he was passing the ball.
Yeah, I mean, they had 34 pass attempts yesterday. They completed 20 of them. But they weren't, as you point out, they weren't going for big yardage. I mean,
Roethlisberger throws for big yardage usually.
Well, he was 75 yards on 8 completions, so he had a 5 yard per attempt average. And but then Rudolph, 112 yards. So
my point was just that Roethlisberger, in the course of the game, would take more shots down the field.
Yeah.
Right, right. But they, you know, that was a day where the secondary didn't get tested, certainly not the way they did against the Bengals, where it was 400-plus yards. I mean,
hey, that's fine. Ross. That's fine.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is fine. You're right. DK Metcalf having a presence in this game, much like he did in the first game.
Blitz is coming. Russ gets it away. Ball's caught by Metcalf. Stiff arms, one man. Bowls over another down to the 25-yard line. Holy smokes. Steven Nelson made the tackle. He made Sean Davis pay the price, and Davis stays down on one knee. He took a stiff arm from Metcalf, and he is getting up and going to walk off. But, man, oh, man, that's going to show up on SportsCenter tonight, a 17-yard gain for the rookie, DK Metcalf.
He's shown some good hands, too.
Yeah, he has.
And he's made some good catches. Obviously, it's just two games. And
he's been very impressive.
Just not hesitant, but I'm just curious. All right, you get a couple games under your belt where teams have multiple games to look at what you're doing. How are they going to adjust to you?
I'm not really sure this is a question of adjustment, though, on the part of other teams. If you've got speed and size.
But if they're like, hey, we doubled, or this guy, he doesn't respond well if you're really physical with him. I mean, we don't know what any of his tendencies are yet.
Well, some of that stuff hasn't happened yet. But,
right.
But so far, I mean, I agree with what you were driving at, Tom. It almost looks like he's the one who's dictating.
Right. If you want to double him, great. We'll throw it with the Lockett.
Right.
Which they did a whole bunch yesterday.
But go ahead and double him. We can still throw it up top, and he can still go up and get it.
Mm-hmm. Or you could just throw it to this guy who was 5 catches, 5 targets, 2 touchdowns. Talking about tight end Will Disley.
Carson in the backfield. Russell, look out off the near side corner. Throw to the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown, Seahawks. Will Dissly, for the second time today, scores for the Hawks from 12 yards out. The two tight ends owned this drive. Vanette and Dissly, with Dissly paying it off on the touchdown reception. You can't cover everybody, and Dissly open right down the middle. The Seahawks take their first lead of the day.
That interception by McDougal really did change things, because this is the next drive right after.
Right.
Where he hit Metcalf, then he hit Vanette, and then he hit Dissly right there
right.
in succession. So,
well, the tight ends, you know, we kind of speculated before the year started. I know I did, that they felt like they'd be a bigger part of the offense, the passing game, and so far they are. And Dissly just is, I mean...
Although we thought it would be Hollister in there, because everybody loved him.
Well, especially Clayton and Jake.
Yeah, I know, and he's on the practice squad. But we'll see what happens there. And Ed Dixon, who knows what's going to happen with him once he's healed.
But if Dissly stays healthy, I mean, he is
impressive, man.
An impressive tight end.
Very impressed. I'm almost more impressed with his recuperative powers, his ability to come back from that knee injury.
Well, we always have fast healers in our tight ends here, Bob.
Yeah,
you know that.
They're all Luke Wolverines. Wilson. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, even Jimmy Graham, considering he was an older player, he had the same injury. That's a severe injury.
Yeah.
And he came back quicker than anybody thought, and Dissly the same thing. So good to see him out there doing that. We talked about the flea flicker, second week in a row that the Seahawks have been taken advantage of on this play.
It's going to be a quick toss. Now the flea flicker comes back to Rudolph. He's going to throw deep. He's got Smith-Schuster out here and makes the catch. Delano Hill is there on the play to make the tackle at the 15. But the flea flicker, the throw, and you get it anywhere near number 19, Juju Smith-Schuster, and he's going to make that catch. Seattle bit on the pitch. It came back from Connor, a 46-yard play.
Mm.
It only led to a field goal, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Bend, don't break.
Exactly. It was kind of par for the course on the part of the defense there. So you're still up 1 point, 14-13 there.
Yep, and then you hand the ball off to Rashad Penny. He comes up with his biggest play of the day.
Out of the shotgun, he's going to hand it off to Penny again, who makes a man miss. He goes 30, 25. Russell throws a block. He's going to go. Touchdown, Seahawks. The Seahawks back to the line of scrimmage on a third down and short. Quick handoff. Penny bounces outside and follows the blocking of his quarterback all the way down the field. Untouched goes Penny for 36 yards.
It was a great run. He made a great cut on that play.
Sure
it was,
did.
It was a pretty impressive run.
And he absolutely exploded. I mean, what have we heard about him? We've heard that he can be versatile, but man, he's got speed.
Yes, he does.
Big time.
Explosion.
Yeah. Quick feet there. Made a nice cut. And then, hey, there's Russell running with him.
Yeah.
Blocking. So,
that was nice, but I don't like that.
What?
I don't like Russell out
blocking?
There blocking.
Pretty stout little dude.
I understand he can do it. I know he can do it.
He can take a punch.
He can take a hit. He took something.
Some of these quarterbacks can't help themselves. Andrew Luck's a bigger guy, but still, Luck's more injury prone than Russell was.
Yeah,
he's probably the last guy you
Russell's
want
to do Russell's not injury prone at all.
Yeah, the guys you don't want seeing blocking are somebody that like Luck, like Roethlisberger, people that have dealt with injuries, Cam Newton.
Right.
You don't want to see him doing that.
Cam Newton actually threw a block for one of his guys,
I mean,
that would be shocking.
He's a big dude, but you don't want him doing it.
No, not at this point.
But that might tell me something about where his head is.
Yeah. Leno Hill making up for biting on that flea flicker.
There's the snap. Rudolph looks, bounces on his toes, has time, throws the back of the end zone. It's picked off. He was trying to get the ball to Smith-Schuster in the back of the end zone, and Leno Hill picks it off.
That was only a two-point conversion try.
Right.
Thus, the lack of excitement in the call there.
Why were able to go nuts.
That was the right call on the part of the Steelers, though,
to go
for two there.
Yes, definitely.
I had no issues with that. Meanwhile, Tyler Lockett didn't have a touchdown, didn't come up with huge yards, but, man, he was targeted a whole bunch in this game.
Second down and 20. Carson play fake. Russ is going to roll right side. He's going to look. Now he's going to throw back across the field. Lockett comes back and can't make the catch as he had defenders in his face. The ball was a little underthrown.
Seattle is challenging the ruling on the field of no defensive pass interference. We'll review the play.
It looks like this is going to go the way of the Seahawks as everybody is walking down the field. Carl Cheffers is just now taking off the headset.
After review, the defender materially affected the receiver. It is defensive pass interference at the 35-yard line. Please set the game clock to 8:47. Seattle will not be charged with a timeout.
That's a big word.
Materially.
Yeah,
don't you love some of the pros that these guys use?
Yeah.
Materially affected.
What if he said, we missed the helmet-to-helmet on the same play, so we're giving him this one.
First down.
We don't think it's a PI, but since your quarterback just got level, we're going to give it to you.
Yeah, yeah, we blew that one, but here's a make good. By the way, Tyler Lockett, 10 catches yesterday on 12 targets, 79 yards. And we were all lamenting the fact that he had, what, 2 targets in week 1?
Right.
And none in the first half. So he was targeted 12 times in this game, came up with 10 catches.
Did it feel like that many?
It felt like he was constantly, hey, there's
Tyler
Lockett.
To him all the time,
I mean, but they
yeah.
weren't long passes.
Right.
So it was just, you know, they were kind of doing what the Bengals did to them. They were kind of taking what was given to them underneath,
yeah.
dinking and dunking, if you will. yeah, that was obviously a huge challenge that went the way of the Seahawks, and it resulted in this.
Russell takes the snap, looks far side. He's going to throw downfield. He's got Metcalf. He's got a touchdown. Seahawks. DK Metcalf one-on-one down the far sidelines. Good luck. Perfect pass by Russell Wilson. A 28-yard strike. That's number 201 touchdowns for Russell Wilson. What a Hall of Fame career he is having. And he's got another 20 or 30 years left. 27-19, the Seahawks leading.
Jesus, Raves. I don't know if he's got 20 or 30 years left.
He's going to play till he's 60?
He could. If football is around long enough and it doesn't, you know, go away because of concussions, at some point somebody's going to be healthy enough to play into their 50s.
You think?
Maybe. Do you think it'd be a quarterback, though? I'm thinking kickers seem to be the ones that are the oldest, obviously.
Well, Tom Brady's how old?
42.
Somebody has played into their 50s.
True. Blanda?
Right.
Well, see, he wasn't quarterbacking that whole time, though.
When he was 48, he quarterbacked, like, I think he was MVP that year.
Really?
He filled in for LaMonica on quarterback 6 games for the Raiders. That's probably the oldest.
Oh, it's got to be.
I'm guessing. These days, when you're talking about the oldest players, they're usually kickers.
Or long snappers.
I mean, Morton Anderson.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Trey Junkin.
Lasted a long time.
By the way, all of a sudden, Vinatieri looks like he's lost it.
He has, but...
Completely.
They just said a few minutes ago he's not going anywhere. He's hanging around.
How old is he? He's 40, what is he, 44?
I think he's
44 or 45.
He was on the Patriot team that Parcells coached in the Super Bowl in 96.
Yeah.
That's how old he is.
Meanwhile, tough day for Chris Carson, but he did make up for it later. But this was one of the faux pas that benefited the Steelers.
He's going to turn hand to Carson. Ball is on the ground. The Steelers pick it up. Running around with it is Bush. He's at the 20. At the 15, turns upfield, dives for the end zone. He might have gotten in. No. Stepped out of bounds at the 5-yard line. That play was messed up from the beginning, as Carson never got the ball in his hands, I don't think. And nobody's getting excited yet, as the Seahawks put the ball on the ground for the second time today. Bush recovers, steps out of bounds at about the 4. Holy smoke.
Now, the one thing I don't remember about that play, how much time was left in the game right there? Because the Steelers had a possession, and then the Seahawks got off the field. They got the ball back.
I want to say 7 or 8 minutes.
Okay, I was going to say maybe 5 or 6, but in that neighborhood.
When they got it back for the last drive, it was 5.5.
The Seahawks killed 5 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, the defense did their job.
Well, that fumble resulted in a touchdown, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. It led to the Steeler touchdown. You're right.
Yeah.
28-26.
Yeah.
My fault.
And then they had 12 plays, 41 yards, and a little over 5 minutes on that final drive. For the Seahawks. Sat on it, but that one cost him a touchdown. Here's Russell Wilson doing what I hoped he would have done in the first game, is he saw green grass in front of him and took advantage of it.
Blitz is coming. Russell, he breaks away. He's across midfield. He's still running. He slides. He's going to be close. He goes down at about the 33-yard line of Pittsburgh. He had to get to the 32 as he really took the slide, but he kept going forward. And he's complaining, I think, about the spot. He really believes he got closer than that.
No, he didn't.
he was complaining, but to no avail. It was 4th and 1.
A long one.
And then Pete, given the opportunity to make a choice. Do you go with the field goal? Make it a 5-point game at that point?
Yep.
Or do you go for the first down and kill the clock? And he elected to go for it on 4th and 1. And again, on a day where the offensive line were having their difficulties, your running back had put the ball on the ground twice.
On the road.
Yep. And here's the play.
Russell goes under center with Chris Carson, the single setback. Carson gets it. He puts his head down. I think he got through. He does. Chris Carson bounces off. He gets in behind his guard and center, Justin Britt. And he picks up the first down. And what a huge play for the Seahawks on fourth and one.
You know, the more I think about that, fourth and one, okay. What if that was fourth and two or three?
They'd probably kick it.
You think you would?
Yeah, I think so, too.
Would you want him to go for it, fourth and two?
I want him to kick it in the first place.
Oh, I did, too, but I mean...
Fourth and one, I was definitely go for it. Go for it. But if you're going fourth and two, fourth and three, I'm probably leaning more toward the kick.
There is a group of people out there who probably would have wanted him to go for it even at fourth and two.
Yeah, fourth and five. Go for it.
We're just playing a video game here.
Yeah, essentially, that's the attitude. But, so that play effectively ends the game as they're able to just kill the clock at that point. I think the Steelers had one timeout left. They used it. Seahawks burn up the clock, and there you go. Victory.
Terrific
game. Great win.
Victory in Pittsburgh.
A lot of good games yesterday. Did you guys watch any of the other... any of the other games yesterday? You watched the Atlanta-Philadelphia game or the Bears-Broncos?
The finish of the Bears-Broncos was unreal.
That was absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, that was a fantastic
The Broncos come back. They score a touchdown. They're down by one at 13-12. They decide they're going to go for the win with a two-point conversion. Then they get called for a delayed game penalty. They get backed up. Now they got to kick it. They miss the kick. But then the Bears get called for what, being offsides, right?
Yeah.
So now they're back up there.
They go for it
again. They get it. They're up 14-13. Bears get the ball back with 30 seconds to go.
Trubisky play of his career?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And then they have to kick a 53-yard field goal, except what's been their bugaboo for two or three years.
Field goals.
And their kicker comes through, makes it, away they go with a win. Yeah. Amazing.
He's a superhero in that city now.
He is.
On the heels of what was established last year, the bar couldn't be lower, and he comes in there and kicks a game winner, and not a chip shot, obviously.
Oh, yeah, 53, and that's on grass, too, I believe.
Yeah, in Denver, right?
Yeah, he's a superhero.
Being in Denver, that actually helped him because of the thin air
altitude.
There. But wow.
Yeah, pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Hey, let's give you your pitching matchup. Mariners have the day off today, but they get back to business tomorrow.
They had a good weekend.
They did.
Very.
They
Ichiro,
did.
The whole thing, it all went well.
Yeah, by the way, before we get to the matchup, how about Ichiro's speech? Did you watch it?
Yes.
I did.
His English is good.
It was always good.
It was good, and it was pretty cool to see him be emotional, and I thought that was awesome.
I thought it was terrific. I tweeted it out on Saturday night. Whatever he was when he was a player here in his prime, I don't know. But this lovable sort of Ichiro persona that he's got going on now suits him really well.
Yeah.
It suits him really well.
I thought he came off really well in that.
Yeah.
He tried to joke around with D and Yusei saying, no crying this time. And it was very cool. I saw Ashley tweet about it, like, I'm not crying, you're crying. Were you out there on the field for that?
You crying right now?
I'm not crying right
She's
now.
She's gathering herself. Were you on the field?
No, I was in the booth.
In the booth?
I was in the booth that night, but I was definitely tearing up.
Were you? Were others?
Yeah.
Because it was cool. It was cool to see him get kind of choked up. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's kind of an overwhelming feeling. You're getting a franchise achievement award. He's already retired and he's not going in the Hall of Fame yet. But just to have a weekend named after you, and he's a humble person to not want or expect that, it's kind of overwhelming. And just to have the whole team come out and support him, that's probably what really got him. And there's a lot of people.
Well, he was surprised that Junior and Edgar were there, right?
Came out on their own. That
Griffey
really
makes
cool.
A lot of trips up here, doesn't he?
Sure.
Racking up the frequent flyer miles.
That's it.
5 years, they'll be doing another statue out there.
And the coolest thing was is he was in full uniform, wristbands, and everything.
Yeah, of course he was.
That was awesome.
Oh, if he came on regular clothes, I would have screamed.
So they're
going to expect that.
Are they going to do another ceremony for him to induct him into the Mariners Hall of Fame?
No, I'm talking about the regular Hall of Fame.
No, I know that, but I'm saying...
Oh, why not?
I mean, they're going to retire his number. Now,
which is Randy's number,
two guys, right? 51?
Yeah.
They're both 51.
But they haven't retired Randy yet.
No.
Well, they didn't.
You think they will?
When they retire Ichiro's.
Well, they're not going to do it the same night.
I don't think they'll... I don't know if they will.
Could you do double? Is that weird?
Yeah, no, you can do it. The Yankees have done that before. The point isn't that two guys wore 51. Ichiro will... have his night in the Mariner Hall of Fame. Will Randy is my question.
I don't know.
Yes.
Think he will?
Don't you feel like it would have happened already?
Yeah, but I mean, I think
Dan Wilson's in the Mariners Hall of Fame.
Yeah, right. It should happen.
Well, they haven't retired his number, though.
No, but he's in the Mariners Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So
Randy belongs in the Mariners Hall of Fame.
Randy might be in the Hall of Fame already, but they haven't retired his number.
As far as retired numbers, it's just Junior.
And Edgar. And Jackie Robinson.
Jackie Robinson, yeah.
Right.
It'd be interesting. Yeah, it was cool to see, though, man. That was very cool. All right, let's give you your pitching matchup. It's brought to you by Heritage Distilling's BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon. Change it up with Heritage Distilling's BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon. Your matchup is?
Yeah, this is tomorrow at Pittsburgh. Marco Gonzalez, 15-11, 4.30 ERA, against Mitch Keller, who I can only hope, for his sake, he's an opener, 1-4 with an 8.29 ERA.
All right, there you go. There you go. Meanwhile, every local team had a great weekend except for one. Halftime show coming your way next with Bob Gross and Tom on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob Gross and Tom.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
It's time for the halftime show.
The half is not over.
Presented by VenueKings.com.
The half is not over. There's 3 seconds on the clock.
Revisiting the biggest stories of today at the midpoint of the show.
The halftime show. It's not easy.
Now, here's Bob Gross and Tom.
The halftime show here with Bob Gross and Tom. Coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to answer your questions. Any questions you've got, any topic, doesn't matter. You can start texting them in right now. 710-710 is the Coors Light text line. Have an opinion already coming up. We open the show, of course, talking about the Seahawks. A big, big win on the road in Heinz Field. Taking out the Steelers to prove to 2-0 on the season. First time since
2013.
Way back in 2013. Wow.
Not that. I mean, they were 0-2 last year. Think about how we were talking and feeling about this team last year. The offensive line looked terrible.
They were going to be bad. We thought they were going to struggle, and it looked like, oh, well, this is what we're expecting.
I think Russell, was he sacked 6 times in the first game?
Against Denver? I think so.
I think
couple,
it was 6 sacks.
I remember, but a couple of them were really humiliating.
What was their first win? It was against Dallas up here, week 3?
Yeah.
It was.
Yep.
And then they kind of went on a little run.
And ultimately, they were essentially fine.
I mean, they were what, 10-6? So they were 10-4.
They were 10-4
from
that point on.
But now it's amazing how much different you feel with a 2-0 start.
Well, yeah,
well, I mean, all of a sudden you're talking about, you know, Clayton was talking to me, but now I think they get to 11 wins. You know, his crazy fixation with ridiculous numbers. But I mean, I look at this and say, look, you looked at this Pittsburgh game as probably a loss going in. In fact, you may have looked at the New Orleans game. Well, that one, even though it's at home, is going to be really tough as well. And now you've got the benefit of already winning a game that you could argue you should have probably lost the first game of the week against Cincinnati, getting the break against Pittsburgh. You won the game. I'm not taking anything away. And now you get a chance to face the Saints without Breeze. All of a sudden, this part of the schedule that looks so brutal doesn't look as daunting. You're looking at a 3-0 start, and you know maybe 12, 13 wins is a possibility. You're looking at being 4-0 against the Rams.
The only problem is San Francisco and L.A. are both 2-0.
Mm-hmm. And San Francisco is actually playing Pittsburgh next week.
They are. Okay.
Yeah, isn't that weird? They followed the Seahawks. They played Cincinnati, obviously, last week.
Well, yeah. I mean, the division.
Are they trying to copy us?
They're all playing the same or similar schedule, not the exact same schedule.
Right.
But they get the same AFC opponent. So.
Story number two. Big weekend for the college teams. The Cougs take care of Houston.
Friday night. That was 31-24.
That was a good game.
Yeah, I mean, they were down at the end of the half, 14-7. Then they come out in the third quarter, put up 14 points. And then both teams scored 10 in the fourth. But, yeah, Cougs get it done, 3-0 on the season. Their quarterback looks good. Threw for 440 yards and 3 touchdowns. You know, Anthony Gordon.
Mike Leach may have an idea with that offense. What? Air raid offense may work.
You think he might be dialed in on something that could finally work for him?
It seems like it's working for him.
After 18 years, there's enough of a sample size there?
Yeah, I'd say that it's almost plug and play.
Yeah, I think Gordon threw it,
right? You find the right quarterback and you're going to produce big numbers.
Man, threw it 48 times, 440 yards, 3 touchdowns. So they get the win. And then I was saying on Friday that I felt like the Huskies not only needed to win, they needed to dominate this game.
They did.
And they beat the daylights out of Hawaii, who had been having their way with Pac-12 teams.
They've beaten two of them.
Yeah. So they were 2-0 coming into the season against two Pac-12 teams. But then the Huskies, opening quarter, just beat the daylights out of them. It was 21-0 at the end of the first quarter, and they end up beating them 52-20. Jacob Eason with 3 touchdown passes.
What was the spread on that one? 21 and a half? Is that what it was going in?
Sounds about
remember
right.
Remember our guy from Hawaii, or New Yorker in Hawaii, or Boston guy in Hawaii, told us that it was going to be, I think it was 21 and a half.
He didn't pick Hawaii to win, but no, he said they were going to come out, they were going to fight, they were going to do their thing.
How about kudos to our old pal Herm Edwards? Knocking off ranked Michigan State at Michigan State.
Did he?
For Arizona State, yes.
Yeah, 10-7. Real barn burner. He won. He won. They're undefeated, too.
ASU. Yeah, it's weird how, I mean, if the Pac-12, and there are the conversation's already going on. You know, you got five of the top 10 teams are SEC teams.
Right.
So it's like, can the Pac-12 possibly qualify for the Bowl Championship Series? And you say, well, it'll have to be an undefeated team. There aren't that many of them left.
Arizona State.
Washington State.
You never knew with the Cougs.
You never know with the Cougs.
And we have to make sure to ask Michael Bradley tomorrow about Temple. They beat Maryland. He likes to sing the fight song.
Why is that a big deal that Temple beat Maryland? I saw a bunch of people.
Because they're ranked.
Temple was a pretty significant underdog in that game.
Maryland was ranked 21st, I think, coming into that
game.
Okay.
So, big weekend for the Seahawks, big weekend for the college teams. But story number three, the Seattle Storm lost to the L.A. Sparks.
That's story number three?
Well, hold on. We actually have four today.
Yeah, okay. We'll get to the fourth one.
We're talking about all the local teams, so-called local teams.
And they were in the second round of the playoffs. There's another one out.
Yeah, eliminated by the L.A. Sparks from the WNBA playoffs. This is a blowout, by the way, 92-69. So they're the only team, really, that had a bad weekend, though.
But the fact they got to the playoffs without Sue Bird and without Stewie. And
Your girl Stewie won a game.
Yeah, so congrats to them for achieving what they did, considering you know two of your most important players were out for the whole season. So you had that, and then you fast forward to the Seattle Mariners.
You know,
stretch and the 0-1 pitch. Lewis a swing and a high drive straightaway center field. Angle to the warning track to the wall. Goodbye baseball. Kyle Lewis with his fourth big league home run. A three-run home run here in the bottom of the eighth inning. And Kyle has made it a one-run ball game. This kid has been unbelievable in his major league start. Holy smokes.
Four home runs in six games.
Indeed.
Same as Trevor Story.
That one made it 10-9 yesterday in the eighth because they were down. What were they down? 10-5?
10-5, yep.
And then they came back. That was a three-run home run. It made it 10-9. They ended up tying it in the eighth. And then at the bottom of the ninth, they got the walk-off walk. So they won, what, two out of three?
The Murph.
The Murph.
Yeah.
Two out of three walk-offs. And you know, lost in everything was a terrific outing by Felix Hernandez, of all things.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Pitched really well the game before. It was a 2-1 game on Saturday. But Kyle Lewis is a guy we sort of forgot about. He's a first-round pick. He's only 24 years old, but he suffered that devastating knee injury. So he was just kind of out of sight, out of mind. And then they make the deal for all these prospects. We're talking Kelnick. We're talking Sheffield. We're talking Dunn. Every other prospect except for him. And to see him do this is so much fun to watch.
He's made September baseball in Seattle in the midst of a just awful season. Kind of must watch. Yesterday, all of this was going on during that Bears-Broncos game. I was flipping back and forth on the TV like a maniac. I needed two TVs, really. But look, I want to watch every Mariner game from here on out as long as he's in the lineup, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's
terrific.
His OPS, Tom?
It's 1312?
1290.
That's
You're
good.
Way off.
That's real good.
920 slugging. It's a handful of games, but to see him get off to this start, they're talking about how he hit just 11 home runs in AA Arkansas.
Mm.
He's got four here.
Because they throw the ball harder.
Well, Blowers was talking about just how big that field is out there, apparently. And it just doesn't carry very well.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We've had the conversation a million times. Who's the centerpiece of the Mariners going forward? We've thrown out J.P. Crawford and guys like that. It's got to be Kyle Lewis, right?
I don't know. Kelnick seems to be the guy that they're focused on for the
Kelnick, the future. Rodriguez, is that his name?
Yeah.
Shortstop?
Oh, right. Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah.
But Kelnick's not going to be here next year.
No.
Neither is Rodriguez, I don't think.
Lewis is a guy, like I said, you sort of just lost track of him because of that knee injury. I mean, that really set him back, and that was another devastating knee injury. It wasn't like, oh, the little torn meniscus.
Right.
Fine.
I believe he was Jerry DePoto's first number one, wasn't he? His first draft, I think so.
2016?
Yeah. It's cool to see somebody overcome that. and all of the attention being centered around all of these new acquisitions, and you just sort of forgot about him. And to see him doing what he was doing is just very cool.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to be next year or the year after, but watching this kid, when he comes up, he's one of those guys in baseball who just you think good things are going to happen.
He looks like his bat is short.
Think
a lot of guys get up there and they look like they got a big long bat. He chokes up on it a little bit. If you notice that, he'll choke up on it, but it just doesn't look very long. Maybe he's a big dude. I mean, he's listed at 6'4".
They don't make a bat big enough for him?
It just doesn't look very long. I don't know. Something about the bat looking short to me when he's up there, but maybe it's just because he's choking up a little bit. But The Murph.
I actually saw a Mariner fan on Twitter complain about the walk-off walk yesterday because it wasn't exciting enough.
Oh, whatever. Whatever.
Dude, come on. It's the Seattle Mariners.
Oh, jeez.
Things are good for the Mariners.
You're down 10-5. You come back and win, and you're complaining? Not enough excitement?
The Murph!
Sorry to see Mike Trout's season's over.
Yeah. He's got a foot issue that's going to require surgery.
He should still get MVP, though.
You know, I was looking at those numbers. He probably will. 45 home runs. But you know who you can make a decent case for?
Who?
And he was here last year. Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, you could.
You won't get any argument.
Nelson Cruz got his OPS over 1,000. Is having an amazing year.
He had another
big
home run the other night.
Yeah.
And Sano. The Twins can just hammer the ball.
So good. All right, coming up, your questions. Anything you got, any question, just text it in. 710-710 is the Coors Light text line. Have an opinion already? Coming up with Bob Gross and Tom on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Is Have an Opinion Already on the Bob Gross and Tom Show. Three loudmouths, three questions, and one giant tub of hand sanitizer. Right, Bob? Let's get it on.
Let's get it on, baby. This me.
Nope. Try again.
Let's get it on.
Question one.
Why are there not chairs in elevators?
Because you got to squeeze as many people in as you can, thus chairs eliminating a lot of room.
You'd only be able
That's
to fit
such
like
a perfect answer.
What?
Bob's answer was just perfect.
You'd only be able to fit like maybe three or four chairs in there.
And why should you have a chair? I mean, what elevator is he going on?
How long are you in
the
elevator?
For 10 minutes? How many floors are you traveling?
Oh, man, I'm all the way on the fourth. I got to take a seat. This is going to take a while.
Space. That's the reason.
Well, back in the day, they used to have elevator operators, and they had a chair.
Well, he was in the elevator for 8 hours.
All day.
Yeah.
Don't you feel bad for him?
He had a chair.
He should have a chair.
Like the security guard in the store there, Costanza was working
Wouldn't
for
you rather have a chair? What if I told you I could get you a chair?
Next.
Question two.
If you're on your way home on Sunday and you're recording the Hawks game, is it rude to ask strangers not to spill any spoilers?
Is it?
Well, what strangers are you worried about? Like when you're driving home, people are going to blast it out of their car?
Yeah.
Don't tell me what's going on.
Is he walking down the street?
Yeah, you're running
on his way home.
Hey, don't tell me what's
He's
going
just got his fingers in his ears going, la, 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 don't say anything I don't want to know.
If you're at a restaurant or something.
I still think you probably, it's not your place to lean over to the table next to you going, hey, I understand you guys are having a conversation about how much you enjoyed the game. I don't know what happened yet, so if you could stop, that'd be great.
It's rude. You're tough luck.
Yeah. Do what you got to do to avoid it, but sorry.
Yeah, it's not incumbent upon them to alter their conversation to suit you.
Nope.
I mean, does it really? I don't understand the whole thing about that. I mean,
what?
You can still enjoy the game knowing what the outcome is.
Yeah.
I can't.
Can't?
No. But I wouldn't ask anybody to not talk about it either.
I got you.
You've got to be surprised.
Well, that kind of. That's why I didn't go back yesterday and watch the first half. I'm just not interested anymore. Now, had there been a bunch of critical plays in the first half and I had to just see what happened, then I would have, I guess. But knowing that it was just a sack fest on Russell and it was still close.
Don't you want to see why he was being sacked? Is it his fault? Is it a Fetty?
I've seen it before. Okay. Yeah. I've seen it before.
Usually Fluker's not a problem. He didn't have a good day yesterday.
He did not have a good day yesterday.
Before the injury. I was surprised he came back.
Yeah.
I kind of was too.
Next.
Question three.
Somebody should give a shout out to Gardner Minshew. He didn't get the win, but he looked pretty GB good in his first start in the NFL.
Shout out.
That's GB.
Gosh Barn.
Gosh Barn good.
Gosh Barn. Gosh Barnett. He was good.
Was he good?
I didn't see any of the games.
It was 13-12 was the final. I didn't get to see. Again, when the Seahawks are in that early slate of games, we have to watch the whole thing. You don't really get a chance to see too many.
I popped a red zone during the commercials, but you don't really get a good grip on what's happening in these other games. So I confess I saw little to nothing of what he did.
I hate the Seahawks in that early window because red zone is at its best in the early window.
Right.
Let's see. He went 23 of 33, 213 yards and a touchdown.
No picks.
Sacked four times. No picks.
So he's three.
No pick. Sacked four times. Quarterback rating of 97.2.
You know what? This is a shout out.
With all these other star quarterbacks out, the time is nigh for Gardner Minshew to become a star.
Nigh.
Well, it's, the South has become an interesting division, hasn't it?
The QBR rating is interesting because his QBR rating is 28.7 with those numbers. Had a touchdown pass, 213 yards. Then you look at Deshaun Watson on the other side, 16 of 29, 159 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, but he had a QBR of 54.8.
What's the highest you can get, 100?
I think.
Well, then why is Gardner at 28? That's not good.
I don't, that's on the
QBR's
surface.
Dumb.
Having not seen the game, I don't know, but Watson, you look at his stat line and go, well, he didn't match what Minshew did, but he's got almost doubled his QBR.
Is that the stat that Trent Dilfer helped to invent?
I believe so.
Where's he now?
Did he help
invent
it, or did he just help promote it?
He just kind of put his name on it.
Did he?
And look where it got him.
Where is he?
Nowhere.
I haven't seen him in a while.
He's gone.
He's gone reading rosters of other people.
He's just
this guy.
I don't believe he's working for ESPN anymore, is he?
I don't think so. Maybe we can get him on. Trent, where
Wilson,
are you?
He's good. Carson, he's good.
May Bean's pretty good.
Yeah, maybe we won't get him on.
By the way, I have an opinion. Does the Narvaez walk-off home run the other night rank higher than the Franklin Gutierrez Grand Slam in all-time Mariner moments? I honestly don't think so.
Well, he got away with one because it wasn't a home run.
Right, it was a double. It should have been.
That was weird. They didn't even reveal it.
What
did you notice that?
I did, but what was the reasoning they gave? Was it because the White Sox just didn't give a rip and they wanted to get out of there?
I didn't hear the reasoning, to be honest.
You know what? Would that shock you if
no,
that was it?
Not in the least.
Nah, we don't want to.
Let's just get out of here.
We don't have to look at it.
The White Sox are every bit as bad as the Mariners.
We don't need to look at it.
Wasn't that weird, though? I mean,
it was.
They huddled. The refs were out there talking to each other. And
they huddled.
Then they just gave the
signal. Right,
but
they didn't go to New York.
No. That was really odd.
It was very strange.
And seeing Brad Adam, Bill Kruger after the game.
They were perplexed.
They were calling it, hey.
Like everybody else.
They called it a home run, but it wasn't.
There was one angle they gave. I forget if it was from the left side or the right side, where it looked like it could have bounced on like a little shelf and gone straight up. But to me, I thought I saw it hit yellow.
It did. Yellow was still in. That's
I know, but there's a shelf behind the yellow before it hits the fence.
Oh, I got
it's
you.
A little net.
Right. It could have hit there, but I mean, maybe they just thought it was not worth looking at.
Let's get out of here.
Let's just get out of here, man. Saturday night, whatever.
It's long enough. These guys
will this year ever be over?
Yeah, come on. It's September 15th. Come
There's
on.
There's nothing on the line for either one of these teams. So there you go. All right. Good stuff from you guys. We're going to come back after a tough week one. How did the secondary perform yesterday? We'll talk to a guy who knows a thing or two about the secondary. Paul Moyer will be with us next. It is Bob Gross and Tom on 710 ESPN Seattle.